Hi, and welcome back to Real Estate Keeping It Simple. I'm your host, Ray Dove, with the RE/MAX Eastside Brokers, Inc. here in the Bellevue, Seattle, Washington area. So here it is, that time of month, again, where we get to talk about the activity of the previous month from our local MLS, the Northwest MLS. And we're talking again about the activity in King, Snohomish, and Pierce counties. King County being predominantly Bellevue, Kirkland, Seattle, those general areas. Snohomish County from about North Bothell all to Everett. And then Pierce County takes in Tacoma, Bonnie Lake, and those general areas around there, if you're familiar. What I've noticed here is the home prices continue to go up, even with higher interest rates. In King County, home prices are up almost 12% from last year. In Snohomish County, they're up almost 8% from last year. And in Pierce County, they're up about 4%. So people that are sitting on the sidelines hoping that the higher interest rates would bring lower prices, we just haven't seen it yet. In fact, the interest rates continue to climb upward. And we're still seeing homes sell quickly. Not all of them, but a lot of them are selling within a week after they go on the market at their asking price, and some for a little bit more than their asking price. So let's go to the stats here for the month of March of 2024. In King County, properties that went on the market, what we call new listings, houses and condominiums, there were 2,954. And that was about the same as last year. Total active at the end of the month was 2,316, and that's down 7% from last year. Pending sales are 2,559. That was up 8% from last year. Closed transactions, meaning they went into escrow, they did their inspections, now when closed escrow transferred ownership, was 1,882, and that's down 4% from last year. And the median house price was $850,000. It leaves us with 1.2 months worth of inventory. Still shy of that magic number of 4 to 6 months worth of inventory, so supply and demand. In Snohomish County, new listings went on the market, 1,114. From a year ago, that's a little about 50 homes more than they had a year ago. Total active at the end of the month is 591, which is down 23%. Pending sales, 1,090, and that was 12% more than last year. Closed transactions were 736, and that's down 14%. Their median house price was $730,000, and they have less than a month's worth of inventory than Snohomish County. In Pierce County, new that went on the market was 1,102, and that's down about 40 homes from last year. At the end of the month, they had 1,109 still active, and that's up 9% from last year. Pending sales were 1,120, and that's down 10% from last year. Closed transactions, 796, and that's down 23% from last year. Median house price, $535,000. I think we're going to continue to see less and less inventory as we go forward. And I continue to think our spring market, even though it's more active this year than it was last year at about this time, sadly, I think it's going to fizzle out because the interest rates are pushing 7.5%. I think we'll see that interest rate higher, especially when the latest statistics came out that we're still dealing with inflation measures, and they got worse, not better, as everyone had hoped. What does that mean for you as a home buyer? Well, there's just going to have to be creative, try to find different ways in which to finance a home. Maybe ask the seller to pay your closing costs to help on some of that down payment, or maybe ask them to buy down the interest rate for a period of time, 5 years or 3 years. I mean, you can still ask for those things and maybe the seller would agree or not agree, but it's worth asking. You might find yourself competing against someone else trying to buy the home, or you may not. Some of these homes, like I talked to a fellow real estate agent with a different company, they had a home that went on the market, only on for 7 days. They only had two offers. Sold for full price. I don't know what concessions they made, but it sold for full price. And they may not have made any concessions, but you just don't know until it actually closes escrow. And I've got a seller, we put a piece of property on the market, and we too had some activity, and we only got one offer on it, but it sold for its asking price. But we didn't have multiple offers. And yet my seller was willing to work with the buyers initially, because they came in and asked for below asking price, and I felt confident that the buyers would step up and pay full price, so I recommended that my seller counter back, and they accepted the counter. And so it's all part of understanding that the dynamics of the seller, if you're a buyer with your buyer's agent, and understanding the buyer if you're representing the seller. Again, I want to just touch lightly on the new buyer broker services agreement that's mandated in the state of Washington, effective January 1st, 2024. A buyer's agent, an agent that you decide you want to talk to, it may even be as soon as you go to an open house, you have to come up with some form of an agreement in writing, and maybe that agreement is just for the day that you see the open house, or for its day or two. You get to dictate the term in terms of how long it will last, what the compensation package would be to the buyer broker. But the buyer broker is mandated by law to get buyers to sign a buyer broker services agreement as soon as possible. So you're going to find real estate agents at open houses pushing for you to sign it, not because they're trying to trap you into an agreement. Is their mandate to have this agreement signed by you as a potential home buyer. If you're being represented by another real estate agent, that's fine. Maybe in that acknowledgement, you put down that you're working with a competing real estate agent under contract, and you just give us the first and last name of that real estate agent. So it's on file in the event that the state decides they want to audit all these files. It's a complicated process. It'll be interesting how it unfolds as we go. But be assured that we are not, our local MLS is not owned by the National Association of Realtors. And I'll repeat again, the National Association of Realtors, which I'm a member, has never, in my term as a real estate agent, 40 plus years, nor has our MLS dictated to us, me personally, or my company I work for, they've never dictated us what we should charge a seller for a brokerage fee, nor tell us how to offer a portion of that broker fee to a buyer's agent. So the only thing that's really changed is in order to put a home on the market through our MLS, it has to be listed with MLS member, so it'd be a listing contract with the seller. Before, buyers were not obligated to sign any kind of buyer broker agreement or compensation agreement. They could just meet up with a real estate agent, agree to work with them. They go out and look for homes, and hopefully they find one. And they had no obligation to compensate that buyer broker. Everyone worked off the assumption that the seller was going to offer a buyer broker fee in their, when they put their home on the market. Now it's a little different. A seller can opt not to pay a buyer broker fee, or he can pay 10% for a buyer broker fee. And the seller will decide what he wants to do. And of course, that'll be driven by the marketplace, as I've talked about in earlier podcasts. The sellers may say, no, I just want the buyer broker to get compensated by their own buyers. But most sellers are saying, well, look, what's my competition doing out there? And if my competition is doing this, then I want to be competitive in the marketplace. So you're just going to have to decide whether you meet somebody at an open house or whether you're working with somebody to help you buy a house. Is a buyer broker service agreement must be signed. You must discuss how you're going to get compensated. It doesn't negate the fact that you could always ask the seller to pay the buyer broker fee. And the seller could say, well, I'll pay this, or I'll pay it all. So that's really all that's changed. And you as a buyer, you're going to have to decide with your real estate agent, how are you going to compensate your buyer broker who's representing you, not the seller, on how they're going to get compensated for their time, energy, and efforts. You know, contrary to popular belief and the news and the keyboard warriors sitting at home that have never bought or sold a house in their life, it's not that simple to just find a house on Zillow and go buy it. There's so much more to it that you don't know until you're in it. And the other thing I want to state is Zillow is not a real estate company. Where do you think they get their house inventory? It's from agents like me who get sellers that want to put their home on the market. We put them on the market, and Zillow and every other real estate type of website picks up that information. They advertise it on their website. So it's not like these homes are on the market without some guidance to help sellers sell their property. So They just don't magically turn up. But with that said, there's a lot more to it. So many little things. And so you may decide to compensate your real estate agent a certain way. Maybe it's hourly. Maybe it's by the flat fee. Or maybe it's by a graduated brokerage fee. Maybe it's a flat brokerage fee. That's the beauty of the situation now, is everyone gets to sit down and have an open line of discussion about how everyone needs to be compensated. You cannot and should not expect whoever's representing to work for free. You don't work for free, and the real estate agent's not going to work for free. And if you could do it yourself, my hat's off to you. I'm not going to try to convince you not to try to sell your house yourself, or try to convince you to buy a house without a real estate agent. That's up to you to decide. If I wanted to, I could install my own roof if I knew how. I don't have to use a roofer, but I do because I don't know what the heck I'm doing, right? So just don't be afraid to ask questions. Get clarification, whether you're a seller or whether you're a home buyer, so that you understand the processes that are going to take place. With that said, again, I'll remind you as home buyers, if you're really serious about trying to find a home and buy a home, get with a lender. Meet with a lender. Discuss what your financing options are. Get credit approved. And I would even encourage you not only get credit approved, get asset approved, income approved, so that when you find the house that you want, you can make that offer and you'll be able to assure the seller that you're in a position to perform, at least getting financing subject to a clear title report and subject to an appraisal of the property. So I would certainly strongly encourage you to do that. If you're a home seller, again, if you're in the position to spruce up your home, make it look shiny and bright, cleaned up, and it looks good from the street, and walk through the home, the pictures match the home, you're going to be in a better position to get the highest, best possible price and terms for your home. But you're not going to get top price if the home needs a lot of work, a lot of cleanup, they can't see past the clutter in the home. It's going to work to your detriment. So work with whoever gives you the best advice. Interview a home stager. They can share with you their thoughts. Of course, they're fee-based. They're going to want to be paid for that advice. Or if you got a real estate agent that you're working with, that you feel comfortable with, that's going to represent you, they're more than happy to sit down and say, well, this is what I would do here in the yard. This is what I do in the house. This would be the best way to show your property. Could even mean you have to stage the home and pay for staging. You may have to put plants in. You might have to hire a landscaper if you aren't able to mow and edge the grass to make it look nice. But you need to work on those things. And try to work on things that cost very little money but get you a really good return, like repainting the walls, a landscape cleanup. Those type of things will benefit greatly in getting the highest, best possible price. Going forward, it will be an interesting real estate market. No question about that. But those that are prepared will succeed. And if you'd like to call, text, or email me to get my thoughts and input, I'm happy to offer to you and for you at no expense and no commitment. Even if you're a buyer looking to at least get some initial input from a potential buyer broker, then feel free to do so. But after that phone conversation or that initial meeting to just ask questions, if we decide to start going out and start looking at homes, then I'm going to have to, as required by state law, have you sign a buyer broker services agreement in which you and I will determine the terms of that agreement. And if hopefully we come to an agreement, if we do, great. And if we don't, then you're welcome to continue to look for the right agent for you. Again, this is Ray Dove with RE/MAX Eastside Brokers, Inc. here in Bellevue, Washington. You can call or text me at 425-681-8630 or email me at raydoveremax, that's RAYDOVEREMAX at gmail.com. Hope you're all doing well. Look forward to a very vibrant and active spring market. Again, I'm here to help you if I can. Have a great week. Have a great month. We'll be chatting on the next report next month. Thanks for listening.